And we're back. This is the 14th episode of the Sports Table, and we're gonna jump straight into some topics. We've been out for about a week.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Then it's college stuff. We haven't had much time to do a lot of podcasting, but we're back, and we're gonna try to get more content out daily. But I guess the first topic we're gonna cover here is Eric Bledsoe and his fiasco with the Suns.
I was at a hair salon, dude.
Yeah, it's a hair salon. Do you believe that story at all?
No.
I mean, neither.
Not at all. I mean, he could have been at a hair salon, but he was not talking about the hair salon.
I think he was legit talking about the Suns.
Oh, no, he 100% was talking about the Suns.
And I think he just kind of, you know, found out about Earl Watson getting fired, because he got fired an hour after the whole thing happened.
Do you think Bledsoe, like, tweeting that out had anything to do with that coaching being fired?
No, I think he's going to be fired. Once you lose by 48... Loose, let Lonzo go for, you know, 11-8 or whatever. And then lose by 42. Your job is pretty much gone. And then you're supposed to have this young talent and they're not really, you know, coming together. They're not really playing well. And then your point guard comes out and says he wants out. So,
hey, they won the first game after he said he went out.
Exactly. So that should say a lot. But I guess the question is, if, you know, what are the best trade options for him? You know, what are the best suitors? And I was thinking about that. And, you know, they have teams like Denver. They don't have a point guard.
Moody is awful.
He's awful. Their defense is just as bad as I thought it would be. I think I said something about that in an earlier podcast, Over and Under. Their defense is terrible. It's so bad. They could use a Bledsoe to come in and give a little bit of leadership. I mean, he's not the best defender, but I think he's capable.
Better than Moody,
Yeah, he's better than that. So, and then I think him, I guess depending on the trade package, they wouldn't trade too much for him because you don't have to. Once he asks for a trade and it's like public, he devalued himself.
Where would you rank Bledsoe in your point guard list?
Point guard list. That's on the spot. That's kind of hard, but I would. Okay, I guess I'm going to put him in a class of
point guards. Yeah, that's fine, too.
I'll put him in the class of, you know, the average, maybe. I think he's, like, a little, you know, above, you know, Jeff Teague in that area. You know, Jeff Teague is, if you want to name him, Jeff Teague is probably 15 to 20 in the league of point guards. Like, if you have each team starting point guard, Jeff Teague is probably 15 to 20. Eric Bledsoe is probably in that list right there. So, and if you add that a Jeff Teague to Denver, I think they're fine. You know, I think that's
enough supporting cast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't, when you have a Jokic, you have a Paul Millsap.
You give a Jokic a real point guard?
Yeah, that he doesn't have to, you know, run it through himself. It's like, you know, what the Pelicans are doing.
If he went to the Pelicans? But, I mean, they can't do that with that contract they just gave.
You can't do that. Once I saw Drew Holiday inbound the ball for Boogie Cousins to bring the ball up the court with, I was like, you're actually paying this guy $130 million to not be a point guard? He gave it to Boogie. And then like, him and Anthony Davis were taking turns being point guard. They ran pick and rolls off each other.
That's horrible.
That was so bad. I was like, oh, God. Two big men are fun to watch, but they have no supporting cast.
He doesn't care. He made all that money. He got that big contract.
He doesn't care, but, I mean, like, the fans and everyone else should.
Pelicans screwed that one up.
Yeah, they screwed that one up pretty good.
And everyone knew when they had it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, he might be worth it.
Yeah, everyone knew he wasn't worth it. Not even close. Yeah, he's not going to lift that contract. But I get back on Eric Bledsoe. I really like the Denver. That's probably my favorite because you don't have to give up much for him. He devalued himself. You want Moutier and a protected pick or something?
Do you value Bledsoe over, say, for the Bucks? Say over Malcolm Brogdon?
I actually do, because Malcolm Brogdon, he would be what I consider a quarterback. What do they call Alex Smith before he started playing really well?
Game manager.
Yeah, a game manager point guard. You know, you can't be like, you know, run the pick and roll. You have to be like, bring the ball up the court, give it to Giannis, be ready to catch and shoot, play defense. Eric Bledsoe, you'd be like, if Giannis is off the court, he can run a team. You know, he can play. So I like that about Eric Bledsoe. So I also like that as, you know, Bucks.
Do you like a good fit for the Bucks?
I think it's a really good fit for the Bucks because when we was watching the Cavs and Bucks play each other, when Giannis went off the floor, they looked like a lottery team. But with him on the floor, it was 1-on-5. He was carrying them offensively. I mean, they couldn't stop him. So
I haven't watched the Bucks play that often or at all this year, really. Yeah. How does Jabari Parker look on that team?
Well, with like when he gets back.
Oh, he's not back yet?
Yeah, yeah, the ACL injury, remember?
I thought he was going to be good to go before the season started.
No, that was Zach LaVine is like on the border. He's like a month out.
So you put Bledsoe with Giannis and Jabari Parker. How do you like that?
They could be a 2-seed now with the Celtics when the Gordon Hayward injury.
The Wizards and Bucks could fight for that 2-seed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, and because the Celtics, I mean, Gordon Hayward, that was a devastating injury, but Kyrie hasn't looked impressive by himself over there.
They need to hope for a 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, they're gonna. I think they're gonna go for 5-6. Not 5-6. 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Yeah, probably. Because I mean, you have obviously the Cavs gonna be one down.
Yeah,
for
Cavs
sure.
One.
You're gonna have Wizards and Bucks 2-3.
Yeah, and then maybe even Toronto.
Could Toronto pass them?
Yeah,
possibly?
Yeah, possibly. So I mean that I'm not big on the Celtics. You know,
I'm not big on them. I thought they would be good.
I thought they're gonna be
but
okay.
But now without Gordon Hayward,
yeah, because they, you know, him and Kyrie, they could play well off each other, and I mean, I was thinking about like this with the Celtics. The Celtics, with to be a championship team, you need one top five player in the league.
They don't have one of those.
Or you need two really good top 10 players, and then a third option that's like top 25.
And they don't have any of that.
They don't have that. They have a top 15, 10 and 15 player with it as Kyrie Irving because he's not top 10 player in the league, and then they have a 15 to 25 player, which is Gordon Hayward.
And where the heck is that third option at?
No one. Al Horford, you know, a power forward is playing center. You know,
with the rookie Jason Tatum.
Or is he going to give, you know...
Jalen Brown has looked good
He looked good the first game, and then he felt... Like, I think he's going to have not the sophomore slump or anything like that. I think he's going to be pretty good.
I mean, he wasn't that great I think in his rookie year anyways.
Yeah, I think he's going to have an up-and-down year. He's going to have probably a 5-game stretch where he looks like, okay, he might be a French all-star. But then he have a couple games where he has 6 points, 9 points.
I can never see, like, Jalen Brown was picked, what, fourth, fifth overall?
Third?
It was third overall? He was picked third overall. I can never see him being one of the top players in the league.
Yeah.
Despite the way he plays?
That's a... Because...
Like, usually with, like, he
doesn't,
top...
He doesn't have the jump shot. The consistency of a jump shot.
He can be a phenomenal role player. Yeah. I can see that.
I think he can be, at best, I think he can be a greater version of Jay Crowder.
Yeah, I was just looking like, a top five pick, you're normally looking for a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't see him being a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him being a superstar ever, but I think you give him the years, he can develop a... If he develops a Jay Crowder-esque catch-and-shoot jumper, then he becomes a threat. He's already a good defender, and I think he has better ball handling than most people give him credit for. He's more explosive. He's explosive as hell.
That first game looked nice.
Yeah, exactly. Like he was.
But if he could do that, for the whole season, he's an all-star.
Yeah, in the East, I mean, he's an all-star. Yeah. But true. I guess it's a little different now. You know, there's no East-West thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, you still... Is he considered a small forward or two? What do you consider him at right now?
Honestly, I have this position thing with a lot of people. I just say wing.
Okay.
Yeah, I just say wing because I don't think... Like, Jason Tatum's playing the four. He's clearly not a power forward.
Oh, heck no.
But on offense, he's a wing. He sets screens. He does, you know, they don't have... He doesn't post up. But that's why I kind of just say he's a wing player, you know? And then,
all right. So back to Bledsoe. Do you have any other options than Denver and the Bucks? Do you have any other like good ones that pop out right away?
Good for contending teams, or not really contending, but good teams.
Yeah,
not really. You don't have too many more teams that need a Bledsoe like point guard, because of course you have like the Knicks. Well, the Knicks could use him, but
I mean, the Knicks could use him, but they ain't making the playoffs.
They're not making the playoffs, but I think the Knicks are in a situation where they're in rebuilding, so it doesn't make sense for them to go get him.
Yeah, how old is Bledsoe? Like, that's not a rebuilding
effort. Yeah, and I don't think Bledsoe wants to be in another rebuilding effort, you know? No. Because he's already left the Suns.
He's trying to leave the Suns right now.
Remember, DeAndre Jordan did say, come home, bro.
Clippers would not be a bad option.
It wouldn't be a bad option. I just think that... Can he be a wing player? Can he run a wing spot?
Can he run... he can't run a three. He can run a two.
No, yeah. He can be like a two. He can guard twos. He can guard ones and twos.
But could he be some two? Twos. That's a good question.
Like run off ball screens and stuff like that. I think he can. He can be okay. He can probably get off the... Off a screen, maybe a mid-range screen. I can't see him.
What if you run him at the one and let?
And what Patrick Beverly off two? That works because Patrick Beverly is already in that situation.
But let Patrick Beverly run guard the best player one or two.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what he did in Houston, so that makes sense. But when Milos comes back, what about Milos? Oh, Milos is a point guard.
Yeah,
he has to be.
Yeah, he can't play. Yeah,
he already struggles defensively. I think Milos, but that might work though, because think about it. Milos, you don't want him guarding the point guard.
No.
So you want him to be like Steph Curry and hide him. So you want to hide Bledsoe him. On the point guard.
Yeah, and then when
and then Beverly is
on the Beverly's court. Out there, you can hide either one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't have to have him guarding the best one.
Exactly. You have a small... I mean, they already have a small backcourt. Look at Austin Rivers. He's not big. He's 6'4", 6'3". So, but I think he'll be in the trade. If
anything that's happened. True. They need to get some cap room for...
Yeah.
He's 13 million, you said?
Yeah, like 13. And also is around the same, I think.
Will his dad give him up?
That's the thing. Chris Paul said the same thing. They're supposed to get Melo. Well, not supposed to. I think they were trying to get Melo, but Austin Rivers would not be allowed to be in the trade. And I remember the Knicks...
Daddy ball.
...specifically wanting Austin Rivers. So, I think the Clippers would be the best option, because I already like the Clippers right now.
I really
like the Clippers.
It's really funny about Daddy Ball for a second. Like, I just remember, I played a bunch of baseball when I was younger. So, I played Daddy Ball always happened. And it's just, funny to think that the NBA has actually, a model of Daddy Ball.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought, a father and a son would be...
I never thought that could ever happen, but it's here.
And I think it's bad for the Clippers, honestly.
No, I definitely think it's bad. You need to get rid of one of them.
Yeah, because some teams like Austin Rivers. Like last year when the New York Knicks liked him and they would not trade. Well, because I just remember the report came out that the Knicks, if they want to trade him to L.A., the Clippers, they would want Austin Rivers back. And I was like, no hesitation. The Clippers needed a three forever. Every year that Chris Paul was there, they needed a three.
Could you imagine Chris Paul, Carmelo, healthy Blake Griffin, healthy DeAndre Jordan?
I think it's a disaster, honestly.
You really think so?
Yeah. Because the way the system is ran, Chris Paul, he had the ball in his hands 24/7. Blake hated it. I think DeAndre didn't mind.
DeAndre didn't care because he only catch lobs and rebounds.
If you watch Blake now, I could definitely see Blake hating it. Melo might not. Because him and Chris Paul are buddies. But Blake, if you have another person to share the ball with, oh, God. I think Blake would be like, shoot me. But Blake has been playing well this year.
Yeah, but no, Blake is...
He's brought the ball up and ran pick and roll. I was like, wow. Him and DeAndre Jordan pick and roll is tough. With two bigs in that... Oh, God, that's hard. That's hard to guard.
All right, so moving on to the second topic. And that is, who you run the franchise with.
If you had to pick one player under 25.
I mean, you already know my answer.
Who, Giannis?
It's 100% Giannis, but we should take Giannis out of the question.
No, you can have Giannis. I'm taking AD without a question.
Whew.
Without a question. I don't think there's much of a discussion. I think it's not... Okay, I'm not going to say it like that.
Giannis is MVP
like
right
that.
Now.
I'm not going to say
it
like that.
I mean, it's been like four games, but he's...
But... the AD. Okay, let's compare. Let's compare. Giannis, he's 6'11", has like a 7'6" wingspan.
He's a point guard.
He's a point guard. He can play point. He can't shoot. Doesn't have a mid range really, but can get to his spot anytime he wants to score. Makes others better. He's a great passer. Can guard 1-5. AD. Can handle the ball. I'm not saying he's a point guard. But
he's a point guard?
He can handle the ball really well. He just doesn't pass as well as Giannis. That's why I'm not going to say he's a point guard. But he handled the ball phenomenally. He can shoot. He has a legit three-point jump shot. He can guard. I'm not going to say one, but 2 through 5. He can guard 2 through 5.
I don't know if he can guard 2.
I think he can guard 2. I think if he gets switched out there, he's fine.
I think a 2 would be too fast.
I've seen him guarding KD, and that's the best one, the best wing players in the world. So I think he's fine. He can score at will. When they played the Warriors, he single-handedly, when Boogie was on the bench in foul trouble, kept them in the game. And he can block shots at the rim. He can be a rim protector, rebound. He can do everything. I mean, I just think him and Giannis are not similar players. I won't say that, but AD can shoot. And I think that's the only thing. He has a little bit better post game. And that those are the differences in, to me. And like Giannis is 22. Okay, AD's an old man. He's 24. He's 24. I just think AD. I mean, he's 6'10". Giannis 6'11". I'm taking AD.
I'll take Giannis.
Only thing I will give you about Giannis is he's always healthy. He's Iron Man. So far, almost 3 years he's been in the league.
Let's do this. It's on the spot for both of us because I never thought about this before until just now. Let's do 5 each. Young players that we like.
Young players.
Under 25, you said that could start a franchise that are good enough. So,
oh, wow.
A guy that I think about like Ray is he's played 4 or 5 games, but Ben Simmons, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we're going to talk about Philly next. But getting into this one right now. Giannis, of course. Giannis, Cat, and
Giannis, AD, and Cat are the top 3.
Those are easy. Those are the easy ones. My next one would be Joel Embiid, but I just haven't got the health.
He can stay healthy, man.
If we're putting health in there, which is Avery Jim has to, if we're taking the Jim role for a second.
Take him out of my top 5.
It's hard to put him 31 games in 3 years. That's... If he plays 60 games this year, okay, he's definitely in.
Oh, he's definitely one of those players.
He's definitely in there. But through 4 games, I don't know if I can give Ben Simmons that role either.
No, I'm just saying that through 4 games, he's looked
good. Ben Simmons has looked good. I think the year wait was worth it for Philly fans.
Oh, yeah.
I would definitely want my team. God, this is so hard because there's only so many like transcend like players that you like. I got him, have him on my team to be good. You know, yeah, Giannis, Cat, and Cat is not in the Giannis and AD conversation.
Oh no,
I don't think it's close.
No, I don't think it is either.
Because I think Giannis and AD are
that good,
top 10. In the world. Cat, I'm not putting him in there yet because, I mean, even though AD's team isn't winning, but you can see his skill level and the difference he makes, period. And the Pelicans aren't even trying to put anything around him. But Cat, looking at the, you know, it's like 3 or 4 games into season, but they can't guard. They still can't guard. I'll watch them play Spurs, and he made LaMarcus Aldridge look like he's back in Portland. So I think that's just the main thing is defense right now, but 5 young players that you put them on your team, you're like that's a difference. That's a real difference.
I mean, like just like to build your franchise around.
That's
why I said Ben Simmons. I would love to see Ben Simmons and then Joel Embiid as well.
I definitely take because. Ben Simmons is a legit 6'10 point guard. Like, he's legit. Like, he's... I look at it like this. If he was 6'4, because he's still playing in the league, Ben Simmons, yes. No. I think he could. Because he plays like...
He plays at height so well.
He does play the height well. But he's quick. He's not a slow 6'10.
No, he's not a slow 6'10. That's true.
His handle is point guard-esque.
His handle is like...
Yeah.
I would say like top 10 in the league.
His passing... is point guard. Like, it's point guard.
No, it's not point guard. It's point guard.
Yeah, it's point guard. Now, it's not just like he's a good passer. He's a phenomenal passer. But if you look at that, to me, it's just like saying if De'Aaron Fox, like, he's like a De'Aaron. Like, De'Aaron Fox can't shoot, so he can't play in the league. I think it's like saying that. Ben Simmons can't shoot. That's his only flaw. He can play D. He's probably still learning, but I'll give him. I think he can play D. And so I'll go with you on that one. I think eventually Ben Simmons will be a player like, maybe like 16 and 10 rebounds, 8 assists, like true triple-double threat.
I honestly think that he could, I mean, not Russell Westbrook style, because he's 6'10", but I think that he could go triple-double style like Westbrook did, but he's going to be like,
Like 15 points. Yeah.
And not that 25 or whatever, exactly. 30 that Russell Westbrook averaged, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, one more player. Can you go Devin Booker?
We haven't seen enough, and the team sucks.
Yeah,
and
the team is so bad. Like, we watch. First of all, we can't watch the Suns unless you have League Pass, because they would never touch a television.
They're never on TV.
You can't go Brandon Ingram because he hasn't showed a thing. Kristaps?
I would love Kristaps. He's arguably one of those. Are you good?
Yeah, I think Kristaps can be that fifth, because I think Embiid is more talented overall. But I'll go Kristaps because health.
Korzinga.
I'll just go health.
He's a 7'2".
Yeah.
Power forward.
Yeah, I'll go Kristaps for the fifth one. But I guess I hinted to the Philly conversation earlier. What do you think about Markelle Fultz? And I guess the way that Philly's handling its young talent.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Like, stupidest thing I've ever heard of franchise do. This is your number one overall pick. And he has a arm problem, and you know it.
Yeah, you know it.
And you're going to throw him out there and just be like, oh, the fans want to see him. Let's go play him.
Yeah, and the thing is,
you sat out Joel Embiid. You sat out Ben Simmons. And you're going to throw this guy out there?
Yeah.
No.
Throw him out there to the wall. Like, if his shoulder was so bad where he had to change his free throw to make it 10 times, 50
they said he
times
even,
worth.
They said he couldn't even let his arm for a three-point shot.
Yeah. So, his free throw is terrible. Like, it is up there with centers, DeAndre Jordan and stuff like that. I just can't see how – I don't know, this is my 3 games now, but I can't see how the handling of that situation is
– why would you put him out there in the first place?
Yeah, like, he could play, but Eric doing
– he's not going to be effective.
Yeah, he can't – I think it will hurt his game because it's hurting his confidence too. Like, he's getting out there and he can't play. That situation just baffled me all the way because
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the handling of the situation has been bad, and then I think the Joel Embiid minute restriction is kind of tough, because in a way I'm like,
he's playing so good.
Yeah, it's like in a way I'm like, well, I kind of agree with the organization, because you know they just paid him $148 million and they got to be careful. But they put so many restrictions in there. Like, if he gets hurt, I mean, that's just it. But I can see them wanting to be careful. But if Joel Embiid is like, hey, I'm 100%. I can play without getting hurt. I'm a grown man body. I can legit play without getting hurt. Let me play.
They didn't like go by the minute restriction. The first game, didn't they?
They said 16.
They said 16.
But they went to like 23.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can play 30 minutes. You know? I can play as much as needed. So, and he's getting 30 in like 25 minutes, man. I think you should let Joel Embiid play. I guess the feet and knees are nothing to play with. You know, I guess you have to be careful with big man, but come on. At some point, he's going to have to play.
Oh, he's going to have to play those 35 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to have to play. So, if he's saying he's ready,
let him go.
Yeah, give him 2-3 games in a row he's playing, you know, 30-35 minutes and see how he does. If he's all swollen up and, you know, sore, and then, you know, maybe get some, you know, calm down there. Sit out one game and rest up. And
for that Sixers team, you have to have Ben Simmons or Embiid out there at all times. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be seen at the same time.
And they're honestly not a terrible team. I was looking at it. I think Ben Simmons is one of those players. First of all, he can't shoot a two-hand jump shot. He can't. Like, even when in mid-range, he does, like, a little floater. It's the oddest thing I've ever seen. But Ben Simmons, I think he can be one of those players where you put him out there with four shooters and just
run five out
and just space the floor. And just,
I would run five out that team and let him drive and then kick out if someone comes in.
Yeah, and give him a even if Embiid is not on the court, you run a high pick and roll with him in a, you know, big stout, a real center, and you know, have him roll into the basket because, I mean, his passing is crazy. So he can hit corners, he can hit everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So he's a unique player. He's when somebody's passing like that, it's unique.
And when he's 6'10" doing that,
yeah, that's crazy. I guess another little side note here. What do you think about how Lonzo started out?
Tough first night, right?
Yeah, very tough first night. Patrick Beverley was not happy.
Patrick Beverley did not want to give an inch to him.
Not at all. I love Patrick Beverley. I love the glue guys on the team. Like, Patrick Beverley, he's a championship role player. Like, there's tiers. Just like there's tiers of superstars and how good a star is, there's also tiers to, you know, role players. He's a championship role player. Jay Crowder's a championship role player. I love those two players. But Patrick Beverley, he can be on my team any day. I like Lonzo, but Patrick Beverley's the real deal. And the thing is, it doesn't get any easier from there.
No, because every single player is going to get him. Yeah. Like, we're going to see tonight, John Wall.
Yeah, John Wall. When him and John play, John Wall's favorite win.
Yeah. 10 o'clock?
10:30, I think.
10:30?
Yeah.
Is it on NBA TV
tonight? ESPN.
Oh. Put it on Prime. Put it on Prime time to let Lonzo get exposed.
Yeah.
And then his dad makes it worse for him, man.
I think you hate his dad.
I do hate his dad. Yeah,
Love LeVar though. I love LeVar. Because LeVar, I don't think he acts for it. I think it's more of the media comes up to him and tries to get a headline. I don't think he goes up to the media after the game of the Lakers and is like, hey, I got something to say about Patrick Beverley. Hey, I have something to say about John Wall. Actually, because I watched a little interview of him and the John with the Wizards incident. They started out talking about the Lakers game when they were down by 28 and they came back but still lost. And he was like, yeah, I love they were resilient and they, you know, came back from the 28 points down.
Lonzo ain't losing again this week.
Yeah, he said Lonzo ain't losing again. But he had a little smirk on his face. You know how he normally does it. When he's about to say something crazy, he has a little smirk on his face and smiling. But they asked him that question. Like, I don't think he asked for all the time.
No, he brought it up, though.
No, he didn't bring it up. No, the reporter was like, how do you think he's going to do against, you know, John Wall and the Wizards?
Okay.
And he was like, well, the Wizards, he's gonna lose two times this week or something like that. But I think he needs to realize that they're gonna lose two times in 48 hours soon because they're gonna have back to backs. When they have back to backs, they're gonna lose two times in 48 hours. But, I don't think LeVar always asks for it. I think it's a lot of the media. The media knows, like, if I get this guy to say something crazy for me, it might be a paycheck.
Yep.
So I don't think it's always him. Of course, he has.
I mean, he started by saying stupid crap when Lonzo was in high school, and that's what it got him to where he's at today.
It was college. I think the first one was when he was like, if you switch Steph Curry and Lonzo, Steph Curry would not do anything on UCLA, but Lonzo would still win a championship in Golden State. That was the start. And then ever since then, he's had the Jordan comments.
Dude, Steph Curry on the UCLA team would have won the national championship. Oh, then he would average
50.
National championship.
He would average 50. But yeah,
he averaged like 30 at Davidson, and he had no supporting cast. Exactly,
he had nothing. But he had, you know, he had decent players at UCLA. But I just think LeVar, he does some crazy shit. But I'm okay with it. I mean,
he's a fool.
He's built a brand, but I think he's digging kind of gray for Lonzo because every point guard is coming out for him.
I don't think
it's coming out for Lonzo. I think it's coming out because we can't get something to his dad. This is not the drug where we can put a hit on somebody. You have to be able to be like, hey, if your dad's... is your dad going
to
be there?
We need to call Putin real quick. Put a hit on somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't just go do that in the NBA. You're like, is your dad going to be there? If they see LeVar Ball in the stands, oh, good God.
Oh, this is for you, big guy.
Yeah, right. Point to him and be like,
it's for you, big dog. You're still going to get locked down.
That's the only way he gets LeVar. Because, I mean, Lonzo, he says all the right things. He doesn't say anything.
Lonzo doesn't say anything. He's such a quiet guy.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He says all the right things. I like Lonzo, but I like LeVar, but LeVar does say some off-the-wall stuff, which is crazy.
Yeah, LeVar is a little ridiculous. Just you know, when I mean a little, I mean a lot. I'm not a fan. I think he makes people play harder against his son, which, I mean, I guess if he might want that to make his son, like...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, but, like, it's hurting him so far.
Yeah, hurting...
Especially Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley. Yeah, that was bad. That was not a good open tonight. But I guess moving on to a little college football here, because kind of just State fan and State having a good year. What, ranked 14th in the country? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, 14. You
know, yep. I didn't get anyone to get it wrong. ESPN did. And then...
oh, disrespect. Dude.
Yeah. And then... so they're playing Notre Dame, which is number 9 in the country.
Number 9.
They're playing them.
Correct.
Yeah, they're playing them Saturday at 3:30. And we're watching ESPN, and they constantly say, so when, or you know, when Notre Dame wins this game against NC State, they're going to go on to have Miami. And so if they win out, you know, if Notre Dame wins out, they're going to go to the college football playoff and all of this stuff. But they never mentioned NC State winning out, because they also have to play Notre Dame and then what, Clemson next week?
So, you know, like, I'm not even mad about, like, them saying about State winning out. The thing I'm mad about is, like...
They just totally disregard
that. No, they assume that Notre Dame's going to win the game. Yeah. And then they went on the Clemson and be like, oh, once Clemson plays State, they'll go to the ACC Championship game. Like, Clemson has a loss in the ACC. Does State have a loss in the ACC? No, State has zero losses in the ACC.
I think it's so funny, because they just totally disrespect
them. Like, who's in the driver's seat? NC State is. NC State has zero losses in the ACC. Clemson has one. Like, how are you going to be like, oh, once Clemson plays State, they go to the ACC championship game? Like,
it just like
they're not guaranteed anything.
They're acting like State just some 0-8 team or something right now, and just like a total pushover. Like, even when I first started watching State and the momentum was building, I was like, ah, you know, NC State. But once you watch them, the defense is for real. Their defense is for real.
Bradley Chubb.
I guess we haven't seen them play a legit defense yet. I guess that's one of... I guess Florida State was...
Florida State was a legit defense.
Yeah, less a legit defense. But, you know, ACC is not known for defenses. But I guess that's the only thing. But I like, because their defense shut down Florida State. Even though they had their freshman quarterback in, it shut them down.
It held Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, held him. It did the best you could with Lamar.
It didn't shut Lamar Jackson by any means, but it held Lamar Jackson for the W.
It held him down. I guess
Syracuse. It held the Syracuse quarterback. Syracuse quarterback went off against that Clemson defense. Yeah, exactly. Clemson defense must be better than ours.
Exactly. So I guess Saturday is going to be, I guess, the real true test, because I guess people look back on the schedule and be like, "Well, the two real games you guys played was Florida State and Louisville."
Louisville's at home.
Oh. Well, I mean, they're still like a, you know, decent team.
Well, I mean, we beat Florida State at Florida State when they're number 12.
Yep.
We beat Louisville at home when they're number 17.
Yeah.
And now we're playing at number 9 Notre Dame.
Yeah, I guess
people. And then next week we have at home against number 7 Clemson.
Yeah, I guess people look at those two wins and like, that's not as good. But I mean, I think it's still just principle though. They look good. I'm just ready for Saturday, because I guess that's we know Notre Dame is good. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We know that.
But they put a beating on South Carolina, or Southern Cal.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to actually see, you know, what's up. It's going to be a good game.
It's interesting to see a few of, like, the ESPN reporters, and they were all in Notre Dame, and they're like, they're talking about saying State was better than USC, which I never thought I would ever hear that in my life, but it actually happened for once.
Yeah.
But they said it's going to be a much tougher game this week, which... I'm hoping it will be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want that.
It started off as what's back to 7.5? It was a 7.5 Notre Dame betting.
Oh, it's at South Bend?
It's in South Bend. Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
We beat them last year, but it was a totally different thing. Neither team was ranked, and neither team was that good. And now they're both top 15 teams, and exactly. It's a huge game.
It's a huge game. I mean, because if State wins, if they beat Clemson... That's what they need. If they beat Clemson and then they go to the NCAA championship game, whoever wins that game is going to the...
Yeah, because it'll be probably... I'm not saying Miami's going to win out, but if Miami wins out, it's an undefeated Miami versus... And if we somehow win out.
Yeah.
It's 11-1 top 10 teams.
Yeah, exactly. And it'd be, yeah, it'd be two top 10
teams. But the thing is, the like the game, the state game at the Louisville game at State was one of like the biggest games like that we've ever had a home game.
It was huge.
If we somehow beat Notre Dame on the road, a top 10 matchup in Carter Family Stadium,
that's a legit
college game
win.
Day.
That's a legit win.
College game day. NC State Clemson. We have to, I mean, obviously, we have to beat Notre Dame first.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not putting that out of the way. Like, Notre Dame's going to be a hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough. I mean, the thing is, Notre Dame averages like 150 yards. No, 100 yards passing a game.
Yeah, not much.
They average 317 rushing yards a game.
And that's why I think Notre Dame is a legit team. But what if you guys come out and blitz them? Get up 14-0, 17-0. They have to throw the ball to get back in the game.
Okay, so they average 157 passing yards a game. They average 317 rushing yards a game. Sixth best in the nation. But NC State's defense averages 91 rushing yards given up a game. Sixth best in the nation.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good...
Trenches.
Yeah, it's going to be. But I just... Because if you guys come out and, you know, start playing well, even 10-0, and you guys play okay, you know... Even allow 150 yards rushing, whatever. But if you guys get a quick lead, or if it's third quarter, you're up 10, they can't run the ball forever.
Mm-mm.
They can't run the ball. And you guys have some good outside receivers. So it's going to be a good game. I think
it's Kelvin Harmon next year will be a first second round.
Yeah. So
have you seen Kelvin Harmon?
Mm-hmm.
That man has mossed like seven guys this year. He just takes away from everybody.
It's another guy you guys have.
Stephon Lewis.
I think it might be him. I'm not sure, but it's another. You guys have some weapons.
I mean, Jalen Samuels is
him
regarded as one of the best.
Him, he's
in the nation.
Yeah, he's
at what
he's,
he does.
He really good.
He plays running back. He plays tight end. He plays receiver. Everything. He plays slot. He plays whatever we need. He has. I mean, I think he's second most touchdowns of all time at NC State.
Yeah,
like he's a reception in like 40, like 35 straight games, I believe.
Yeah, he's a good talent. But what do you think about Penn State so far?
Remember, Penn State's been incredible.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're
last week, Saturday, they showed what they had against Michigan. Like,
yeah, Michigan was legit defense, too.
They showed up.
Michigan sucks on offense end, but defensively, they're really, really good. Well, maybe not anymore, but I mean, they were really good. And I think Penn State now, I hate Penn State.
They have another test. They have number six at Ohio State, number six in the
this
nation.
Week?
Number two against number six this week.
Oh, wow. At 3:30?
So NC State, Notre Dame, and Penn State and Ohio State.
So, wait, who had the late game?
The late game? Like the college game day?
Yeah.
College game day is ESPN. Is it?
Let's see.
I mean, is it Clemson, Georgia Tech?
Oh.
Is it Texas Tech, Oklahoma? I mean, I don't. This is both ESPN, too.
Yeah, it's ABC.
Where's the ESPN? Is it...
ESPN down? No.
I don't even see... Here, I can look up on Twitter real quick what college game day is.
Yeah, because the late game is...
Not good.
USC, Arizona State. That's like 10:45, you know, really late game. It goes like 2 o'clock in the morning. But the good games are at 3:30. We don't have two TVs around here.
I'm not even going to watch the Penn State Ohio State game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching the same game the whole way. I'm not going to change channels.
I have no faith in Ohio State. JT Barrett, I have no faith in him. I mean, he's, I guess, okay, maybe. But every time the big games come on about, I mean, it seems like he just disappears.
Oh, so they're doing the Penn State Ohio State game as college game day, but the game's at 3:30.
Yeah.
That's interesting, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess that is a top 10 game. So
I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't play that 8 o'clock at night, though.
Yeah.
The Notre Dame State game cannot be 8 o'clock whatsoever because Notre Dame has the NBC deal,
uh-huh.
And ESPN cannot get the game. They can't, okay. They would have to pay NBC millions of dollars to get that game for college game. So they couldn't get that. That's fun.
They should have. I mean, I get Penn State and Ohio State were the right choice.
So the NC State Notre Dame game was at 3:30 a month ago before either team was ranked. And now it's two top 50 teams. They can't just change it to the last moment. We're going to play 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah. That's true. Man, I hope Ohio State beats Penn State. I hate Ohio State.
I'm not a fan of Penn State. I mean, ever since Sandusky happened,
they've should have got a death penalty thrown at them. And somehow, some way, over the next closest thing to a Death Penalty, they came back in number two team in the country.
Yeah, they got a really nice coach.
Yeah. Alabama's looked like Alabama, of course. Where there's no discussion
Alabama,
there.
Like, there's Alabama, and then there's number two. Like, there's Alabama, there's Alabama, the Cleveland Browns, yeah. Then number two in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even, like, Alabama could legit go to Cleveland Browns and maybe beat them. Yeah, I'm not even joking.
Good contest. Let's see here.
It would actually be a good game.
With number three, Georgia. They had the freshman
Georgia's
quarterback.
Georgia's been looking good, though.
Yeah, they look good. They've been sitting under the radar a little bit. Just because, you know, they're number three, so not technically under the radar, but we all know SEC is Alabama territory.
It's going to be undefeated Alabama, undefeated Georgia in this SEC championship game. Because Georgia has Florida. It has not been that good. South Carolina has been okay. At number 19, Auburn is going to be the hardest test. Yeah. And then you have Kentucky's always crap. And then Georgia Tech, their rival, they probably can't carry them.
So they
have nobody left.
I guess the question is,
who does Alabama have left?
If Penn State loses, and it's Georgia, Alabama 1-2.
Whoever loses that game, do they make the college football playoff?
Do they make the college football playoff?
Depends how everything else works out.
Well, if Alabama loses, they're still in. They're going to be four. We can just get that little. We can get that out. They're going to be four.
It depends how everything works out. It depends how. Obviously, like you said, Notre Dame.
Yep, they're going to put two.
Does Notre Dame win out? If they do, they're in.
But
does Penn State win out? If they do, they're in.
Yep.
Like, TCU win out?
It's going to be a weird conversation because say you guys beat Notre Dame this week. Notre Dame's not going to be in the playoff.
Oh, no. Like, if you have two losses, you're not in the playoff.
Okay, and then if you guys go to Clemson.
Clemson's coming to us.
They come to State.
Carter Finley.
My bad. They come to State. They go to Raleigh. And they go to Raleigh, and Clemson wins.
Okay.
But Clemson has one loss at Syracuse. They go to the championship game, and they beat Miami. Undefeated Miami. Miami's out.
Clemson's in regardless.
But Clemson has one loss, at home against Syracuse? Or is it?
It's on the road.
At Syracuse. Yeah. But Alabama or Georgia has a one loss to the other team.
Clemson's in.
So, okay. I still think the other team gets in because it would be...
Have you seen Clemson's schedule and who they beat? It is...
I think Clemson will get in. Ridiculous. If they win the ACC championship game, I think they're in. But I think if Penn State wins out, they're in. Or if Penn State loses and Ohio State beats Penn State, Ohio State's in. But then that fourth team is going to be Alabama if they lose this championship game.
Saying if Clemson wins out, so you're saying State beats Notre Dame, right?
Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame's out of the question.
So Clemson beat a 13 Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
They won at 14 Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
They won College Game Day at number 12 Virginia Tech.
Yep.
They would probably win at a top 10 NC State on College Game Day.
Yep.
Then beat a good FSU team, even though they're not ranked or whatever.
Yeah, they're still.
And then possibly beating an undefeated Miami.
Oh, they're in.
They're in 100%.
They're in 100%. But I still think, like, if Georgia win, if they beat Alabama, a miracle, and they're undefeated, and they're one, Penn State or Ohio State would be two. Depends on whoever wins this game this week and whoever wins out, because I think one of the teams is going to win out. The trick question is if Penn State wins this game tonight, Saturday, but loses it sometime down the road. That'd be crazy. But just say they went out, they go undefeated, they're going to be two.
There's so much speculation.
They're going to be two.
Right now, I don't even want to think about past Saturday for State right now. I want to see that game.
Think about it, though. What if it's... Okay, say if Georgia wins, they're one. Penn State, two. Just say, how about that? Penn State, two. Clemson, three. Are they going to put Alabama at four to play Georgia in a rematch?
Can't do that. You can't do that. It's back to back. I mean, there's a month off.
There's a month
off.
But it's
still back to back. No, you can't do that.
You can't do that. I don't think you can do that either.
I think
they would have to put.
You put Alabama at three. And yeah. Put Clemson at four.
Yeah, I think they would have to do that.
Clemson would be happy. They would want to play Georgia instead of. Instead of Penn State.
Yeah, I think Alabama would torch Penn State.
Yeah. If that happened, Georgia, Clemson, Penn State, Alabama, I see Clemson, Alabama, round three.
I think Alabama, I really do. I think Alabama would kill Pitt, Clemson too.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think about it.
I mean, Alabama looks head and shoulders. Like, I watch Alabama every week because they're so dominant. It's insane. Like, their second string quarterback can start for probably almost every top 10 team.
80% of the team.
So, he's arguably a true freshman quarterback. They have four running backs. They have freshman wide receivers that could be starting on a lot of teams right now. That's in the top 25. Their defense probably goes three deep in the rotation at each position. It's crazy how good they are. It's ridiculous.
Oh, and you're a... Well, Mike earlier...
Do not... Okay, go on to switch.
Mike earlier today said that Justin Verlander is going to throw a no-no with 12
okay,
strikeouts.
You have to, okay.
He
okay.
had... No, that was the fifth inning, and Jock Peterson just hit a home run. He was no hit through five innings.
See? But you have to get some context for what I was saying. See, we've been watching the
I'm playoffs. A Yankees fan, by the way.
Yeah. We've been watching together, though. And every time the Yankees are playing, because he has every Yankees game on, it seems like okay, for instance, one time Aaron Judge was
the wild
bat.
Card.
Yeah.
No, start with the wild card game.
What
first.
Was the wild card
the game? The wild card game, it was the Yankees versus the Twins. And it was like 2 or 3 hours before the game, and Mike's like, watch. Then we hit a leadoff homer on the first pitch.
Yeah, I'm like, on the first pitch. I was like, what are you going to do, Connor, if they hit a leadoff first pitch? He was like, I'll probably scream. He comes into my room, and he's like...
It was the fourth pitch.
He was like, fourth pitch in, he's like, they hit a home run on us. First at bat. First at bat of the game. I was like, are you kidding me? So then I come back in, and I'm like, you know, it was last series when Aaron Judge's at bat against the Astros, I think.
Yes.
And I was like, And he was like, Aaron just sucked. I mean, he's like 1 for 19 in his bats. He's
like
playing terrible.
55 strikeouts.
And I was like, oh, he's going to hit a home run in this at bat. He was like 5 pitches in. He kills one out. I'm like, dude, I'm actually good at this. And so before this game, I'm like, Justin Laverne is going to throw a no-no 12 Ks. And I was like, okay, maybe not 12 Ks. It's a little steep. But he's going to throw a no-no. And apparently had no-no through five.
Yeah. So I mean, it was in the fifth inning and the guy hit a home run. Yeah. So he was in the fifth.
I was like, dang. I was hoping he's going to get that no-no.
Now it's 1-1 now in the World Series game, too, after the Dodgers won last night, 3-1.
I was hoping he'd get that no-no. I was going to give him some credit if he got that one.
I got to pull for the Dodgers. The Astros beat us. I got to pull for him. And my bracket, I had the Dodgers beating the Astros in the World Series. So
you got every single one right.
I picked the Nationals over the Cubs.
You did.
That's the only one I missed.
Mine
the
was
Nationals
horrific.
Over the Cubs.
Mine was horrific. I picked the Indians over the Yanks.
Yeah.
They got... picked the Astros, and then I picked the Indians over the Astros.
You chose the Indians to win it all over the Cubs.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. You're a little off.
Just a little bit.
I had the World Series, right? I missed one, the Nationals and Cubs. Yeah. I had trust in the Nationals. They went to Game 5 and they choked.
I thought they were going to win that series. When it came down to it, I was like, you know what, they're going to
win. I felt so bad for the Nationals. Like, they have never won a playoff series, and they just choked again.
Did Dusty get fired?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow. I mean, he hasn't pulled.
He had a 97-1 season and a 95-1 season. He gets fired.
That's crazy. Would you have kept him? Would you keep him?
I would have. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Yeah. Nationals are going to be hiring their sixth coach in the last 10 years.
And it isn't. Well.
And they've been in the playoffs almost every year.
They better be trying to do whatever Bryce wants.
No, that was the reason they also said that. They're trying to see what Coach Bryce wants.
Yeah.
Because Bryce is coming out of contract.
Do you want him in Yankee World?
Oh, dude. That'd be the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, if you put Bryce Harper in left field and Aaron Judge in right field, you have them in the bats right there, and then
that'll be an exciting team.
You have Aaron Judge, have Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez, and Bryce Harper. All four of those guys can hit 30 plus home runs every year.
That'd be a fun team.
That would be the best fun thing team I would ever seen. But
it'd be a very fun team.
But the Yankees are trying to go under the salary cap or the hard cap. They're like, we want to be under the cap for the first time.
I'm not saying
in 100 years.
World? In what world do they want to be under the cap?
I think the cap's 197, and we were at like 220 this year. So, but I mean, we'll get under it this year. I mean, yeah. CC was owed $25 million this year. That was his last year. We might sign him back for like $2 or $3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see us giving him a lot, but we were still paying A-Rod $21 million this year.
That was just a cap?
Yeah. We were still paying A-Rod $21 million this
year.
When
does that end? Y'all pay him like 10 years.
This is the last year, yeah.
God.
He got a 10-year, $370 million contract.
I don't see why you hate A-Rod.
I hate A-Rod.
Yeah, but so if Bryce, I guess this is so off this. We went straight to baseball.
We went so far off.
But anyways, if Bryce doesn't go to the Yankees, you think he stays with the Nationals?
I hope so.
Really?
I hope so.
I mean, I'd be hard to picture him in pinstripes, though.
I can picture him in pinstripes right now, man. I can picture him in pinstripes hitting 40 home runs over that short right field porch.
You wouldn't want him or Stanton? Stanton and Aaron Judge?
I would not want Stanton. I mean, Stanton has that contract right now. Contract. I can't do that. I mean, he has 10 years, like, $500 million.
Like, but I mean, what are you guys gonna pay Bryce then? I mean, you guys have to pay Bryce. You gotta give him the boat.
$400 million is what everyone's presuming that he's gonna need.
And how old is he? He can't be old at all. He's like, 20, not 25, old, but
25,
yeah.
26.
Yeah, he can't be. Like, if you give him $10 million, I mean, not $10 million, but 10 years, he's gonna be 35.
See, the thing with that is, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because he's
35.
Yeah,
but with A-Rod, what they did is they gave him a 10-year at 31 years old. So we had to pay him until he was 41 years old for $25-30 million a year.
That reminds me of the Albert Pujols thing. When
Pujols was still getting paid a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With the Angels.
Yeah, he was like 30 or something when he got his.
He was 33.
Oh my god! So yeah, that's like paying LeBron 10 years. Like,
yeah,
you know he's not gonna be LeBron.
That's like paying LeBron right now for 10 years to $800 million.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know he's not going to be LeBron 10 years from now. So why would you do it? I never understood the baseball and hockey contracts. You can pay him like 8-10 years.
Yeah, you can pay him as much as you want. You can go one. This is the best story I've ever heard in my life. I don't know the exact story, so don't give me like don't yell at me for this. But this one guy, I forget what team. I think he was on the Mets. Mm-hmm. This guy, he was good. He signed a 50-year contract, something like that, for $1 million a year. So he is still getting paid $1 million every year up to this date from the Mets.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
I'm just so confused. Like, what?
It might have been 50 years. It might have been like 30 or something. But he got paid a lot.
But I guess he was like, okay, if he was okay, I guess it's like Bryce Harper saying, "You pay me over the next 50 years, $3 million a year." So he can leave baseball, you know, at 45, but still get and not do anything.
Okay, so it is the Mets, and it was Bobby Bonilla, $119 million every July 1st. So this man, through 2035, he gets paid $1 million every July 31st.
But how? This is back in 1985.
No, he signed the contract in 1985. So that. No, wait.
No, I said Daryl. Okay. No.
The deal was pays 164 from 2004 to 2033. So he had a 29-year contract for $1 million every year. He's a legend, dude.
That's genius.
He is a legend.
And I bet, like, back then, was it back then, like, 2004, were they still getting, like, a $200 million contract?
No.
Exactly. So, I mean, God.
Genius. Genius.
I mean, that's, like, a little over $30 million. I guess.
Okay, so here's how it works. The Mets owed him $5.9 million for the 2000 season and no longer wanted him. So the club negotiated with Gilbert to attach an 8% annual interest rate to that money. With the clock starting in 2000, that added to the $29.8 million.
Wow.
The first installment of the payment came out July 1st, 2011, and the Mets will pay their sixth installment on it was this year, July 1st.
Wow.
So they screwed themselves. The 8% annual interest on that?
Wow, his agent is a boss. I'm all for the players, too.
2035 is when he stopped getting paid.
So I guess they just really stretched that contract out for 30 years.
I mean, how old is this man? He is 54 right now, so he's going to get paid until he's going to get paid until he's at least 70.
But yeah, because I guess they had to pay him whatever amount of money, 5 point whatever. For some years, and the 8% interest brought up to $29 million, and I guess they I guess they just stretched it instead of giving it to him in a boat.
Unbelievable!
But that's still genius on his part, though.
He finessed the Mets.
Yeah, it's like you instead of
the Mets owed him $5 million, and he was getting $29 million out of it.
Damn. So I guess it's not like the NBA where you can buy players out of contract.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't, like, buy... You know, NBA, like, D-Wade got bought out of his contract. They paid him $15 million out of $23 million.
I mean, you can do that, but it's never heard of in the MLB. Okay. People don't do that. People just try to trade him instead.
Yeah, it's like, I'm getting all my money regardless. Like,
but, you know, like, if you drop somebody, Like, you got to pay him the full amount, and then someone else can pick him up if they want.
Yeah, it's like wave. Yeah, that's why people don't just get cut. Only sport that does that, you can just cut people, is NFL.
Yeah.
NFL is crazy, man. That's the most brutal sport ever, and they don't just get
cut. No guaranteed money.
None. It's like,
I mean, there's guaranteed money,
but it's not the full by any means. It's like you get paid, say it's $200 million contract. I mean, of course, that's not a thing, but they guarantee 50 of it, 50 million of it. And then once you get paid your 50 million, they can cut you from zero. That is crazy.
Well, that's what happened. Okay, so Derek Carr signed the biggest contract at $125 million. That's the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's probably, I'll say, what was the guaranteed dollars? Probably like 70? It's like
70 million. 70? But the thing that...
So he's missing over 50 million. He's missing over $50 million on his contract, right?
Oh, Mike Glennon with the Bears.
Oh, that is a prime example.
3 years for $39 million.
Yes.
13 guaranteed. Only the first year. So only the first year is guaranteed. So they can cut him after this year and be like, heh, no more money for you.
So, and that's the crazy part because he's already on the bench, so he's not coming back after
this year. Oh, no, but he's getting that $13 million this year. He's fine.
Yeah, he's getting the $13 million, but once they drafted Mitch Trubisky, I mean, he knew that.
Which was a mistake.
I don't know if it was a mistake.
He's throwing seven passes a game.
But, okay, I guess I'm going to get off the Mike Glennon thing. The Mitch, I think it's the fact that he clearly doesn't know the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's clear. Like, you can only open it up so far to what his knowledge is. And when a player doesn't... When, at Carolina, he never took snaps under center. I mean, you get to the NFL, you have to.
How does it feel that that Mitch Trubisky throwing seven passes beat the Panthers?
It made me sick to my stomach. It was the worst offensive performance I've ever seen from a team that's supposed to be decent. We're not supposed to be, Patriots, Saints, but we're not supposed to be a bad offensive team. We have Cam. We have a few weapons, not really much of nothing, but it was embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure to throw Cam Newton on my bench for fantasy.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. We played Tampa Bay this week. We better get a win. We need to go 5-3. I have to root against every NFC South team because to keep us afloat. The Saints are making me eat dust right now. I mean, the Saints, when they start playing defense, I always banked on the Saints to do nothing on that.
You know what changed their defense? The Panthers game.
Exactly.
That was their first game they played good, and now they're playing good ever since.
They came out and shut us out.
Gave them some confidence.
They came out and shut us down completely. And now they're just world beaters. The way they shot the Dolphins, probably, it's not a hard feat. They had Jay Cutler. And you know the thing about Jay Cutler is? Matt Moore is obviously a better quarterback than Jay Cutler is.
$10 million a year?
Obviously. And I think pretty much a lot of people knew that before the season started. But Jay Cutler was just, he knows the offense, blah, 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 blah. It's crazy.
He knew the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, we got off on a long tangent.
Yeah, any. I mean, we've been going for a while, so any final thoughts for you?
Not really any final thoughts.
I mean, we went from NBA to college basketball to baseball football. To football.
Yeah. We covered a lot of topics. I'm just ready for Lonzo and
John Wall. I'm ready to see John Wall shut Lonzo down.
I don't want to see that happen.
Oh, I'm ready.
I love John Wall. I know that, of course, Lonzo's not going to win this one-on-one battle. Like, this is not going to happen. But like I told you, John Wall's going to outscore him. Lonzo can out-rebound John Wall. And it's going to be an assist battle. I mean, John Wall's probably the best point guard, like overall, like points, real point guard, like CP3, type point guard. He's probably the best one we have in the league.
So if you had to pick a point guard right now, sorry, this is last thing.
Last thought. Okay.
Last thing. If you had to pick a point guard, Ben Simmons or Lonzo Ball?
Right now?
Just for future.
Future? Like, that's
for the career.
So hard.
For the career. Last thing. Here it is. You pick yours, I pick mine.
If I'm going off of what I've seen, that's hard.
I'm going Ben Simmons.
Because Ben Simmons does have, he's a triple-double 6'10 threat.
Point guard.
Yeah, but Lonzo, he's a better passer than Ben. He has a better shot than Ben.
They both have awful shots.
Well, Lonzo's shot looks bad.
Lonzo's
it will go in. Ben Simmons, I've never seen him shoot to
Ben Simmons can't shoot.
But Ben Simmons is a better defender. He's... Oh, that's such a hard one. But going over what I've seen, I have to pick Ben Simmons.
All right, because
he's more consistent right now. So, I mean, that's the last thought.
That's the final thought right there. Oh, we're going with Ben Simmons over Lonzo Ball, everybody.
You got me to go against Lonzo. All right, I guess that's to wrap it up. And in this episode, we'll try to get another one out tomorrow.
Yes.
So... just keep out for that, and
we're gonna talk about Alonzo. Alonzo John Wall picks here.
We're gonna review the Alonzo John Wall duo here, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.